Thank you very much, Jess. Congratulations to everybody on the day count. When I was sitting here listening, I sensed a deep pride of freedom. The people may not even be aware of it at the moment, but there is something beautiful about, being sober. And we don't have to be told that the way we drank is insane. We know that. We don't need to be told at all. And to finally find that there is a pathway is miraculous. So congratulations on everybody that shared their dry dates. People who didn't, welcome, of course. Keep working at it. Don't just be persistent. Just keep working. So today, I'm going to be sharing with you my experience around step seven. I just call this step the asking. And I want to take you back to the time when I first did this step. It was winter and before light. A room that was not mine, borrowed space, borrowed quiet, and a particular silence of a house that belongs to somebody else. A single window, the floor beside the bed, cold hardwood, the kind that presses back. I was on my knees. Not because I knew what I was doing, not because it felt natural or right or like anything I had rehearsed. The posture was unfamiliar. The knees that had carried me through the decades of self-management had not spent much time on the floors. But my sponsor told me, when you get to step seven, get on your knees, not as a performance, not for anyone watching. Just get on your knees and let the body say what the mind is only beginning to mean. And I remember the moment before the words came, the silence of it, the cold. The sense that I was about to say something that I could not unsay. Not because it was irrevocable in some legal sense, but because it was true. And once I have spoken a true thing out loud, directly to the God I have been circling for the six steps. You can't pretend you haven't. I want to talk to you tonight about step seven, about what it means to ask, not to plan to ask, not to think about asking, not to feel nearly ready to ask, about why this step, quiet, brief, contained in a single sentence, is the place where everything said in the previous six steps either become real or remains a theory. About the word of humbly, what it means. What was it never meant? The step reads, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Seven words. Six steps of preparation for seven words. The first word I want to look at is humbly. Because the word has been badly misunderstood. And that misunderstanding matters. Because if humility means what many of us thought it meant, when we arrived in these rooms, then step seven asks us to grovel, to diminish ourselves, to approach God in a way that a man approaches someone who has caught him doing something unforgivable. That's not humility. Humility, the real thing, the kind that step seven is built on, is not about self-abasement. It's not about performance of smallness. It is not standing with your hat in your hand, apologizing for existing. The root word, humilius, meaning low, grounded, close to the earth, and from the Latin word humus, soil, dirt, the ground beneath you. Humility isn't smallness, it is groundedness. Humility is accurate self-knowledge. It means knowing where I stand, not below contempt and not above God, not somewhere in between where I'm managing the distance. Just here. This is who I am. This is what I cannot do by myself. This is what I need. And here is the God I have come to believe in and trust. Enough to ask. That's not weakness. That is the most accurate thing a human being can say. I spent decades in what I thought was strength, managing, controlling, presenting, believing that to need help was to lose something. And what I lost was 50 years. The kind of years you don't look but lost because you're full of activity, full of effort, full of exhausting work of being your own higher power. Humility is what comes possible when the project ends. Last week, I talked about step six, about the legal pad on the kitchen table, the columns, the categories. The man who thought step six meant making a plan of his own improvement. And I talked about a fist, the fist that was gripping what should have been surrendered, that had been gripping it for so long. It no more felt like a grip. It felt like weight, like who I was. Step six is the unclenching, the resistance stopping, the hand opening. Step seven is what you do with the open hand. You extend it. There is a distinction, and it's not a small one, between a hand that has stopped clenching and a hand is being offered. Step six clears the ground. It removes the obstruction of self-will from the path. It says, I'm no longer in active resistance. But step seven requires something more than the absence of resistance. It requires an act, an asking. And this is where belief and trust become necessary, because you cannot hand something to someone you don't believe is there. You cannot ask God you secretly suspect is either absent or indifferent. This is why step two mattered. Came to believe in a power greater than yourselves. Ourselves could restore us to sanity. And why step three mattered, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood Him. Those two steps are not prologues, they are preparation. They were building the relationship that step seven now acts on. You cannot ask with trust until trust is built. And by step seven, something has been built. Not certainty, not the resolved, untroubled faith of a man who has never doubted, but something. The evidence of the previous six steps, the fact that you are still here, the sponsor who told you the truth, the morning you woke up and the obsession was quieter, the moment in step five that you said everything out loud and the world did not end. Something has been building in you. Step seven is where you act on it. You know, the big book gives us the prayer. And I want to read it to you slowly. And I'd like you to experience the prayer in which we're about to pray together. So this is not a ritual, it's not a formula as actual words. Now I want to look at them. So first of all, I want you to be present. And you can be present immediately by feeling your feet on the floor or your back on the couch or the bed you're laying on. That will bring you to the present moment. And I want to pray this with you or for you so that you're actually experiencing what we're having, what the asking really is. So, my Creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, the good and the bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in my way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go from here to do your bidding. And it ends with the word amen, a Hebrew word. And what it means is, so be it. We are declaring that this is actually happening to us. Amen. That prayer has 54 words. And I've never found 54 words that carry more weight. Look how it begins. Not God, not higher power. Not the universe or the force or any other careful non-committal language we use when we are still keeping distance. My Creator, possessive, personal, my, the God of my understanding, not as an abstraction, not as a theological argument, not the God of someone else's religion that I'm borrowing because it's required. Mine. There is an intimacy in that word that took me years to be comfortable with. The idea that God was not a distant authority I was reporting to, but something closer, something that made me, that knew me before the defects arrived. Then I am willing that you should have all of me, the good and the bad. All of me. Not parts I have cleaned up. Not the self I'm presenting in rooms like this one. Not the curated inventory of things that I have decided I am ready to part with. All of me, good and bad. The parts that work and the parts that have caused harm, the parts that I'm proud of, and the parts I am not. The parts I understand and the parts I still cannot account for. The surrender is total. Every single defect of character which stands in my way of my usefulness, not some defects, not the obvious ones, not the ones I have selected after careful review, every single, which is another way of saying I am not keeping any. But look at the purpose the prayer names. Not remove them so I'll feel better. Not remove them so I will be more comfortable. Not even remove them so I could be a good person. Remove them which stand in the way of my usefulness. Usefulness to God and my fellows. That word reorients everything. The whole enterprise of recovery, which can so easily become about me, about my comfort, about my healing, and about making my life work. That prayer reveals its actual direction, outward. The defects are being removed not as a gift to myself, but as a preparation for service, as a clearing of the channel. The work has always been pointed beyond me. And then in closing, grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. As I go out from here. There is a going out built into this prayer. Step seven is not about a destination. It is about a departure point. The prayer is set on your knees, and then you stand up, and there is somewhere to go. This is what separates step seven from self-help. Self-help loops. It keeps returning to the self, finding more to fix, more to optimize, more to understand. It has no exit. This prayer has an exit. As I go out from here to do your bidding. And I want to say something about what happens after the prayer. Because I think many of us arrive at step seven with a quiet expectation of something dramatic. We have done the inventory. We have admitted to another human being. We have made ourselves ready. And now we ask, and something should shift. Something should lift. Some weight we've been carrying should announce its departure. That morning on the cold floor, I said the prayer. And then I sat with it. And the room remained the same. The floor was still cold. The windows was dark. The house was still quiet. Nothing had been rearranged itself to confirm what I had just said. And I have come to understand that this is not a failure of the prayer. Prayer is not a transaction. It's a turning. What changed that morning was not the room. What changed was direction. I was no longer facing inward, managing my own project. I was facing outward, toward whatever God had for me next, toward whatever usefulness looked like, toward step eight and the amends that were waiting. Shortcomings don't vanish at a moment of asking. I know that now. Some of them have taken years. Some are still in process. Some, I suspect, I won't be fully free in this life. But the asking matters. The asking changes the relationship between me and my defects. I am no longer managing them. I'm no longer using them while pretending to address them. I have placed them, the whole of them, every single one, into the hands, into other hands, not mine. And I have asked. I want to close by going back to the root floor, the cold hardwood, the borrowed room, the window going from black to gray as the winter light arrived, without announcing itself. And when I finished the prayer, I stayed on my knees for a moment, not because of something mystical was happening, just because I wasn't ready to get up yet. And in that stillness, not drama, not revelation, just the ordinary quiet of a winter morning,
5 minutes, please.
I became aware of something. My hands was open, not gripping the pen, not holding the legal pad, not clutching the project of John C.'s self-improvement, open and extended in a way that a hand looks when it has been giving something away, and found that it survived the giving. That is step seven. Not the removal, the asking, the turning, the hand extended towards God you have decided, step by step, against the evidence of your own life, to trust. Six steps of preparation, one prayer, and a direction. Humbly asked, not humbly planned, not humbly considered, not humbly got ready to think about asking. Asked. That is the whole step, and it is enough. And just one little anecdote. I'm going to put the five questions in the chat in a moment. And if you want to use them and reflect on them for this upcoming week, you're more than welcome to. Just remember this, friends. Pride says, I can do this. Humility says, I can allow it. Back to the chairperson. Thank you very much for your listening.